Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audience. Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot. You moron. You stupid bitch.
All right, I'm Katie Cassidy. We got Connor Mini here on the Ask Backwards Podcast. We're talking Wolf of Wall Street and American Hustle this week, per your guys' Instagram poll. And then heads up, we're going to be off next week for a little Christmas breaky, but then we'll be back again soon with our favorite films of 2020. Don't mind the splish splash in the background. My cat is like jumping in a water bowl. It'll sort itself out. All right.
Batting at the water. She's going to fight the water before she sips.
She's trying to stir it up.
Slap, slap, slip.
She wants it carbonated.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? This was your first time seeing American Hustle. Like, both these came out in 2013. So, we're going to...
They both come out in 2013?
Yeah. Let's forego spoiler alerts. If you haven't seen it, it's been too long. So, there's going to be spoiler alerts.
That's how I felt about it. I was like, it's going to be this long to watch American Hustle. I've seen Wolf of Wall Street. I saw Wolf of Wall Street when it came out.
Yeah. It blew up, bro. It was huge. What'd you think of... American Hustle, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I loved American Hustle. American Hustle was sick. American Hustle was really pretty. Where, like, the Wolf of Wall Street is, like, yeah, they have, like, some really pretty shots and stuff. But, like, the movie isn't beautiful. The movie is, like, funny. It's chaotic. It's, like, it's a different energy. Whereas, like, a lot of American Hustle, like, relied on the fact that these characters were having to, like, put themselves into, like, a lot of, like, weird emotional places. A lot to do with, like... friendship and love and
for sure.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah,
manipulation.
American Hustle. Yeah, it was so driven, independent. Okay, so anyone that hasn't seen it, you're living under a rock. Also, it's free on Amazon Prime right now with ads, so emotionally prepare for that or just rent it. But anyone that hasn't seen it, little run through. It opens saying some of this actually happened. So it doesn't really claim to be, like, latched on to the truth of these events. And then we did a little research and found out that it very much doesn't really care that much about the truth of the events, but still made a dope movie. So it's contingent on the plot that FBI agent Bradley Cooper, with the perm, is wanting to, like, do this thing that was literally named Operation Ab Scam, which they mentioned in the movie. They're like, that's kind of offensive. And they're like, no, it's not. Like, well, to the guy because he's Hispanic.
Well, it's called Ab Scam because they're using the fact that...
The sheik.
Yeah, they're using a sheik. And they're claiming, like, that this Arab dude is going to be able to, like, make these politicians and, like, these mafiosos money. Basically, the movie's about this guy named Irving. What's his last name?
I don't know.
Well, it's about this dude, Irving.
Irving, played by Christian Bale.
Yeah, and Irving is, he runs, like, this chain of, like, laundromats, right?
Yeah, he's a scammer.
Yeah, he's just, like, a scam artist. Like, he's been, like, doing, like, up, like, middle class white crime, like, middle collar crime.
Yeah, like, white collar, like, middle scamming.
Collar. Oh, my God, I'm combining middle collar.
He was, like, doing, like, loan fraud, like, saying, like, give me $5,000 to be your middleman to get y'all back, like, $50,000. And then he had no connection to get the loan. That was, like... his gimmick, and all of that is verified to be true. I fact-checked that. He did own those laundromats and, like, the art dealing and the loans. Okay, so keep going.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Before he was doing, like, a whole bunch of, like, all this, like, actually profiting, like, heavily from his...
Yeah, he had a good little thing going.
He was just, like, some dude who was, like, breaking people's windows and replacing their windows. He had, like, small businesses. Yeah, he had small businesses like that. And then he met up with this, the what's her real name? Sydney?
Sydney is her name, but also then AKA Edith, Lady Edith Greensley.
Yeah, played by Amy Adams.
Yeah.
yeah, like he meets this woman, like falls like deeply in love with her, and she was like a stripper, and she's always just been getting by, but she saw through like his big, fat, nasty exterior, and, you know,
loved this guy. This stupid comb over.
Loved the fact that this guy was smart and loved music and she loved art. And, you know, she was like an intelligent woman. And, you know, lo and behold, she could do a British accent.
Yeah. Which is really what carries the entire plot.
The rest of the movie is contingent on the fact that Amy Adams' character can do a British accent. And she starts building this, like...
here's how she decides to come up with the British accent, though. She starts... Because Christian Bale's character, he's like, we could scam together, basically. And she, like, storms out like she wants no part. Surprise comes back in and is like, let me introduce you to Lady Edith Grainsley. Like, accent, bro? And then they just both, like, somehow know what she means with this accent, saying that she has London, Swedish or London banking connections. It's like, they just run with it. Like, this is it. Like, so now the, yeah, like you said, the rest of the plot is contingent on her being from London and having this accent. It carries the rest of it. Nothing else could happen without it because of her accent. She has those banking connections, and that's why everyone wants to give their money.
Yeah, and then that's when, like, Bradley Cooper comes in. He looks like this, like, little cuck boy.
Oh, yeah. Very much.
This, like, little permed-up cuck boy walks in. So he's like, can I please get you – I give you $5,000. You give me $50, right? Please?
Yeah, as he's totally, like, trying to steal Sydney / Edith from Irving.
Yeah, and then lo and behold, he's an FBI agent. And,
yeah, it's a sting.
And he entraps Irving and Edith because apparently the FBI couldn't get a positive background check on this woman. And yeah. She forged her documents all the way back to birth to become this British woman.
So she's
really just Edith to everyone except Irving.
Yeah.
She has such a convincing British accent that this cuck FBI agent just can't see through it.
It's shocking.
It's ridiculous. And
hold on. Speaking of accents, real quick, please tell them what you told me about Christian Bale. Yeah. And I'm sure everyone knows, and this is just like news to me.
Yeah, Christian Bale is British.
Yeah.
Or he's English, rather.
So this English guy is doing this crazy New York accent and was killing it, though. And when you told me that, it made his performance like 10 times better.
Right?
Yeah. Like a little side note. But anyway, go on.
The fact that he got like super fat for that movie.
Yeah, he just went for it. I love him in that movie. I really do.
No, he's great. And, like, that's the thing. Like, this movie is, like, super pretty in, like, a lot of parts. Like, there's, like, a lot of love between Irving and Sydney. And,
yes, like, until we find out.
Well, yeah, until you find out, like, you know, Sydney does know. Like, but Irving has a wife and a son.
Yeah.
Like, he adopted this woman's son and, you know, they got married and it's played by Jennifer Lawrence. And
mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lawrence has a stunning performance as this crazy bitch.
Absolutely, like, off the wall, like, manipulative, conniving, mentally ill, hot, awesome.
So hot. So psycho. Hot. So hot psycho.
She's so, oh my God, like, I don't know. Her energy was like, because she was a lot younger than obviously most of the people cast in that movie.
Yeah.
You know? She was in her early 20s when that came out. And so, you know, Christian Bale, Amy Adams, they're older than her. And I feel like her energy was right up there with Christian Bale. Like, she was like in it. Like, I love her, dude. She does not get enough attention in my
eyes. Anytime she did like anything wrong, she immediately flipped it back on him. Like, you're a cuck little fucking pussy. Like,
yeah, she starts the
hot said don't. Fire. You said don't put metal in the microwave. What?
Yeah, don't tell me what to do. This takes all the nutrition out. Like, why would you bring the science oven into my house? Like, this is your fault. I'm like...
Like, all I asked you to do is not put a fucking spoon in there.
Just don't.
Why were you heating up cereal to begin with? Some dumb shit I feel like she would do.
I can see it.
Her kid was trashing on her the whole movie. Like, mom started a fire again.
Yeah, that poor kid, bro. But so, yeah, we see...
Competent mother.
We see, the scheme progress with Bradley Cooper is basically what we were talking about before we got on Jennifer Lawrence thing.
Yeah, like, so he, Bradley Cooper's character, this FBI agent, like, really just, like, wants to, like, have his breakout, like in the fucking bureau.
Yeah, he wants to be the next
top guy. And his boss, or, like, the guy he's having to, like, go through is Louis C.K. And, like, Louis C.K. is just, like, this little fucking nerd guy Bradley Cooper keeps, like, bullying, basically, the whole fucking movie.
Bradley Cooper's character is a bull in a china shop through this entire movie. And I start off really liking him, and by the end, I'm like, dude, this guy is such a fucking idiot.
Yeah, because he gets power hungry.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He wants to be, like, the super cool guy. So, like, he's basically, like... Look, I got these two con artists, like, on a ball and chain.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm going to fuck them over if they don't help me get four, like, other connections.
Yeah, he says, like, entrap these other people and then you guys are off the hook.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Like, fuck you. You can't do that. Like, make these other people commit
all
crime.
All while, like, scheming and, like, telling Amy Adams' character that he likes her and, like, wants to fuck her. And...
While he has a fiance and lives at home with his weird mom. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
he's a scumbag. These people are all scumbags.
These people are all terrible. And you know who kind of like the best character in this whole movie? Irving. Like, he's kind of like a genuine guy, like, in parts. Like, he doesn't want to hurt people.
But he does it anyways. Like, his friendship with Carmine. So, yeah, Jeremy Renner plays the mayor and starts getting into
the mayor of New Jersey. And, yeah. You know, they comes up on the FBI radar saying that he's working with, like, mob connections. Mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper's character is like, oh, this could be my big ticket. Like, you know, he's like a hometown guy, and so is Irving. I can get them close, and that'll be my end to basically entrap this guy and get him, like, taking money. But it goes so much bigger than that. That you, after, you know, getting to know Carmine or Jeremy Renner's character more, like, they start using him to get to, like, bigger mafia guys, bigger politicians, like U.S. senators, like all these people, just from these guys, like, who were committing check fraud and some dumb broad who can do a British accent. Like, this movie is just expanding because Bradley Cooper is an idiot.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper got too big for his britches, and Sydney / Edith just really, like, kind of, like, get a little, like, act, like, little, like, bit with her accent the first time when she agreed to be a part of this crime and really just ran with it and didn't know when to drop the bit.
Yeah, she was like, I don't know when to stop.
Even when she was in jail 3 days, like, with the fluorescent lights on, like, big punishment of her being in jail, she kept the fucking accent.
That's the crazy thing, too, because, like, they're making this plot in this movie, like, this whole entire movie's contingent on the fact that she can do it.
Yeah.
But what baffles me is, like, she wasn't even, like, a person in, like, real life.
Yes. No, she was a person. Here's what I found in my research.
Okay.
She was a real person. She was Irving's, like, side bitch. And then, like, she was not involved in the FBI ab scam operation, though.
Oh, she wasn't, like, involved with, like, the rest of the movie, basically?
She played no role in ab scam, and there was no love triangle between her, Irving, and the FBI agent.
That's insane. So that's the whole rest of the movie.
All of that up. Which is fine, because it was awesome, but, like, the drama in me wants that to have really happened.
Yeah, that's so fucking funny. And it's so chaotic, like, because, like, they're Irving and this FBI agent are, like, sitting on this fucking plane, and he's like, oh, man, Irving, you know, like, I thought you guys were broken up. Like, you know, she's a beautiful woman. He's like, oh, you're just going to rub salt in the wounds? He's like, you guys are broken up. I'm sorry. I was complimenting
you.
I'm giving you a compliment. Like
after he's making up with her.
You're forcing this guy to work for you. Or you're going to put him in prison for life. You're cucking him in front of his girlfriend. His wife's cucking him. Like, everyone just keeps cucking Irving, and it's ridiculous, and frankly, it's unfair.
Yeah, I would say so, but also, Irving is a snake in the grass and comes out on top in the end anyways.
Well, that's because he played his cards right after everybody was cucking him the whole movie.
It's really an underdog story.
Yeah, it truthfully is. Because he was like, look, I don't, like, he started becoming friends with Jeremy Renner's character, Jeremy Renner was taking money from mobsters and putting it back into his community.
Into his community, yeah.
Like, he was doing good things with the money. He wasn't, like, a power-hungry goblin. Like, he...
Yeah, they straight up set up a bunch of those people that were taking the money. A bunch of the politicians. Some of them, I don't want to do anything illegal. And they're still giving them this money. Like, so I don't know. I'm not, like, obviously a lawyer. But I feel like that is wouldn't hold up. Like, you made them do that. You tricked them.
Yeah. Puppy paws.
Puppy problems. I don't know. I think he's going to walk around. It's fine. But yeah, so basically we see all of these things happen. And then I guess, like, at the end of the day, like, in real life, 6 politicians were arrested, you know, at the end of all this. But that's long after we see them get involved with the mob and that whole crazy, like, Shyamalan twist that happens. Like, you explain it. You go.
So, like, basically, the whole movie, Irving is, like, suggesting to Bradley Cooper's character, Bradley Cooper's character, the FBI agent, like, hey, can we not do this anymore? Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, like, this is too much.
Like, I will help you do what you need to do so we can get off clear. But, like, what you're doing is too much. You were putting me in, like, life-threatening situations. You were involving me with the mafia.
And because they also bring in...
Because, like, he's involving...
The fake sheik.
Yeah. They involve, like, this dude. Like, Irving used to have a scam where he used to get, money out of people by dressing up this Arab dude he knew as, like, a sheik.
Yeah.
And saying, like, he was a prince and, like, had, like, a lot of money and would, like, approve, like... Like, there was, like, a lot of money.
A loan scam. Yeah,
it was a loan scam. And instead of fucking using Irving's guy, who's actually Arabic and, like, could speak the language.
He was well-versed in the act.
Yeah, they hire Michael Peña.
I remember when you saw him, and you're like, what the fuck is he doing in this movie?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is Michael Peña doing in this movie? Like, why is he in, like, the sheep gear? He's not an Arab dude. Like, why is it, why do they have this Mexican? And then they made the joke of it.
Yeah, that was,
like,
the bit,
like, yeah, Mexican, what's up?
Like, he's like, I'm from Arizona.
I'm from Arizona, what's going on, man? I'm Michael Peña. And you're like, oh my God.
Which later comes back to haunt them when we see the...
The fact that Robert De Niro, like a high quality, like, mobster.
Yeah, top tier mobster. His nickname, I forgot what it was, but it was basically surrounding the fact that he leaves bodies in the street to send a message rather than disposing of them. He's like a big... He's Robert De Niro the mobster. That's who he is.
Yeah, he's scary. Imagine Robert De Niro and imagine him in the mob and him being scary.
I would love that.
Okay, so then watch this movie and that's what you'll have. So,
yeah, but I like imagine having that interaction. First, I'm scared. Second, when is it inappropriate? When is it turn into appropriate to lean in for a kiss?
When is it okay to ask him to?
You should have kissed me, bro.
Look, honestly, I don't want to come off incorrect right now, but I kind of feel like you like me. That's later in this podcast. Yeah,
well, we'll get to that.
But yeah, like, Robert De Niro is just fucking scary. Like, I love how the fact, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, like, the people who did American Hustle, did they also do Silver Linings Playbook? Because that was almost the whole cast.
I don't know if they did. I'm sure probably the casting director or somebody had their hand on it because it was a lot of the same cast.
Yeah, like four characters I counted. Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, Robert De Niro, and then the guy who plays Bradley Cooper's brother in Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah.
Was in this movie for a brief time.
And he was in...
He's in The Wolf of Wall Street.
In Wolf of Wall Street, yeah, too, right?
He's as the fucking... almost said the... yacht pilot, the fucking the captain,
boat, the boat guy,
the boatman,
yeah
senior
boat boy
boatman. But yeah, so like imagine Robert De Niro, right? Imagine asking him to step on your hands and imagine like asking this man, but basically asking this man for money.
Yeah,
like trying to get him on some scheme shit.
It was like a sum of $10 million that they were trying to like get everyone wrapped up in, and Robert De Niro says like, wire that $10 million and show me it's real.
Yeah.
And now they have to find $10 million.
But while doing it, he looks at the sheik and he starts speaking, like, fluent Arabic. Fluent Arabic. And the sheik, like, the sheik's a Mexican guy.
Okay, we're back from the puppy break. You were saying the sheik, surprise, he was the Mexican guy.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, lo and behold, like, Robert De Niro starts speaking, like, fluent Arabic, and the sheik is a Mexican guy.
Yeah.
Is Ant-Man's buddy.
Just by chance.
Is the dude from, you know, the movie. Like, you know, like, you've seen the guy. Like, it's that guy. And he doesn't speak Arabic.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole scheme is ruined. But then what happened? Some assholes jumped in.
Oh, like, some drunk
guy. You guys
guy,
are too serious to be at this party.
Yeah, comes in, breaks the tension. But Robert De Niro is already figuring out, like, what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, and then they just kind of dip. And Michael Peña says, like, the three phrases he knows.
Yeah, he goes, the deal is real. The money is real. Like,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It's like, dude, shut up.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my God.
But this scene really...
Robert De Niro could, like, smell through that bullshit.
Oh, yeah. This scene really, though, kicks off the rest of the movie and what drives the big reveal at the end. Like I was saying, Robert De Niro's character discovering sort of what's going on and, like, this sheik is, like, a fake is what prompts the rest of the movie because then Irving realizes, like, oh, like, I'm in danger because this guy's gonna, like, now kill me. So even if I get out of trouble with the FBI, like, this guy's still gonna kill me for, like, setting him up. Like, because he didn't want to be in, he's in over his head. So that's what prompts him to hire the fake lawyer to go in the office, is later revealed as, like, that, like,
well, he also doesn't want to, like, fuck over Jeremy Renner's character, or, like, Carmine, the mayor of New Jersey. Doesn't want to fuck that guy over. Like, he's genuinely, like, built, like, a strong friendship with that guy. Because, like, think about, like, what's been happening to Irving this whole movie. Like, Jennifer Lawrence, like, he doesn't want to be with, like, doesn't want to be with her, but he's having to be forced to stay with her in order to, like, keep up appearances with Carmine.
And to be around the kid, yeah.
Yeah, and that drives a wedge between him and Edith, the woman he does want to be with, because, you know, that's the woman he genuinely wants to be with, and he just can't right now due to the FBI investigation. And, nothing's going right for this guy at all, and he just keeps losing and losing and losing and losing.
Yeah.
And he keeps trying, like... I noticed a lot, like, he was trying to remedy situations. He wanted to get a divorce from his wife. He wanted her to go find happiness.
He wanted these things, but wasn't trying hard enough. Like, this guy is still a piece of shit.
I feel you. And so is the rest. So is,
they like, all
the,
suck.
Yeah, the rest of them are, too. Like, Amy Adams is just, like, it's like, even, like, Air of him, we're going to stay together, but I'm going to cuck you with this FBI guy and, like, rub his dick and do all this crazy shit. And everybody has to be like, all right, cool.
Well, also, he won't leave his wife. I kind of am on her side for that one.
Well, yeah, and at this, but then.
But she's a homewrecker, so.
Yeah, and then the FBI, but yeah, exactly. The FBI agent has, like, a wife, too. Like,
yeah, he has that fiance and shit. So, yeah.
They're all bad people.
They all fucking suck. But, dude, they are so motherfucking clever because
so
when
funny.
It reveals that they got their friend, that, like, baloney king of whatever, you know, the big meat guy that they showed earlier at the party, when it reveals that they got him to be the lawyer to pretend to be Robert De Niro's lawyer so they could, like, get the money and then steal the money and accuse Bradley Cooper of stealing the money when they stole the millions that were put up. Like, it's like, you are so fucking clever, bro. Like, ooh, got him.
Yeah, so basically what Irving and Amy Adams, Irving and Amy Adams, Irving and Sydney or Edith, basically got this office building, like, while, like, nobody was in it, and like, big reveal, that office building is actually this, like, divorce lawyer's office.
Yeah, belongs to this guy. He goes, I've been in this office 20 years.
Exactly. So, like, it's, like, they have no way of, like, proving that it was, like, there was a different guy in there.
Oh, yeah, they made it look
they conned Bradley Cooper and put this, like, this New Jersey guy who sells, like, cold cuts.
Yeah, cold cut king. That was
the cold cut king. And, like, posed him as Robert De Niro's lawyer. Yeah, it was super, it was super, super, super funny. And, like, big reveal, big twist, and Irving's like, you wouldn't want to tell, you know, the FBI that the two con men you entrapped to catch politicians, you know, conned you.
Yeah, like, he looked like a fool no matter what.
You look like an idiot right now, bro, get pooped on.
And that was
after. Rightfully so, because he was, that whole movie, he was being such a fucking scumbag, beating the shit out of his boss.
Oh, yeah. He was totally drunk with power. For sure.
He Louis C.K. had this, like, ice fishing story he was trying to tell him. Like, you know, like, listen, when I was a kid like you on the force, I did this. I'm Louis C.K., blah, 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 ice fishing. Like, he's just telling this Louis C.K. story. And Bradley Cooper keeps interrupting him and goes, no, it's not the point of the story. He keeps getting mad at him. Like, no, I'm not going to tell you the fucking story. You're an asshole. And he, like, keeps trying to, like, force Louis C.K. to, like, no, give me money because I'm the FBI man. I'm smart like this.
He was raging. His ego was out of control.
Like, he's like, I have good ideas. Like, he starts, remember when he started, like, screaming at Amy Adams because she wouldn't sleep?
The guttural, heart-wrenching scream.
Nothing was going his way. The FBI wouldn't give him the money he wanted. They wouldn't give him $10
million. He wanted the Plaza Hotel, like, some extravagant suite.
All this shit because he thinks he's cool. And then he's like, oh, you need to calm me down, Amy Adams.
And he still thinks that she's Edith at this point. So he's like, Edith, calm me down. And she decides to snap him out of his little rape mode to reveal that she is American.
I don't actually have a British accent. I'm entirely American. Hello. This is the real me. I thought we weren't going to be. He's like, you are freaking me out.
Yeah, he's so freaked out. And he goes, we got to fuck. Yeah. That's how freaked out he is. He just can't think past needing to just, like, he said, please unlock me from my horny jail cell.
Yeah, he was just a big fucking creep. And
he's
I hated him the whole fucking movie. He, like, but he was funny.
Oh, yeah, he killed it. He was funny.
Fucking, and then he's like, after he couldn't fuck Edith, he runs away and goes and beats the shit out of his CK.
This guy's just like a ball of testosterone. And that's what I kept saying, like, dude, the 70s in New York, you could do whatever you want.
You're really good, though.
Nobody could look into you. What, there's a paper trail? I'm throwing out the piece of paper. There's nothing anymore. There's nothing. Clean slate. You could do whatever you want. He beat the shit out of his boss, and then everyone was, like, applauding him, and then later was mocking him for being beat.
He was like, this fucking guy.
Yeah, he's like,
what a mope. No, and fucking, the best part was, like, Louis C.K. had, like, a big eye patch and, like, scars and shit.
Yeah, he beat him with the phone receiver.
I know, and he was fucking,
He was like, and then he proceeded to kick the shit out of me, like trying to get him kicked off. Yeah, they kicked off the case and get him in trouble.
That's how they got the permission to like transfer those millions, because they went to the DA to try to file charges against Bradley Cooper
for beating the shit out of him.
And the DA goes, no, we're not going to do that. But I do want in on this politician thing, and tells Bradley Cooper he's so proud of him and he wants in on his operation.
So this guy just got like a no mercy ass whooping. They were pointing guns at each other. Like, he loaded a fucking pistol and was like, get the fuck out of my office.
Yeah, literally.
You're a loose cannon, Kowalski. You're off the fucking case.
Yeah, he was a wild card.
Yeah, but like, weirdly, this movie was like really pretty at the end.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence goes and hooks up with her mafia boyfriend in Miami.
Yeah, everyone kind of gets a happy ending, yeah, except for Bradley Cooper.
Which, okay.
Honestly didn't want him to have one. I didn't really want any of them to have one, but I was okay with the fact that they got them, because they were all like just scumbags amongst scumbags. Like, they're not infiltrating the population. They're just staying toxic in their own little cesspool.
Yeah, like, he's like, we're doing too much. I was doing a scummy thing on my level, but you're doing a scummy thing on a whole nother level, yeah, I don't want to be on.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make my own scum money.
I just wanted to sell fake art, do the dry cleaning thing.
Oh, yeah, now they're selling real art.
Oh, like, yeah, they get zero consequences. Carmine, the mayor / Jeremy Renner, gets 18 months in prison, and he didn't even do anything. All these other politicians go away, and Irving and Sydney get zero consequences and get married and become art dealers and just keep living life.
Then honestly,
well, I guess that's not so unjust, because these people are fictitious. Wait, no, did that really happen?
Yeah, that could be the big thing. Did that really happen? Because honestly, she wasn't involved in most. I mean, it probably did happen after it was all said and done.
Yeah,
it probably
stayed did together. Go back to.
She probably didn't have that much character development, like as much as she did in this movie in real life. You know. If she wasn't that involved with, you know, the whole case.
Yeah, if she didn't do...
She was probably like, yeah, okay, you're out of trouble now? Cool.
Yeah, like, wicked vibe.
Yeah, let's get back together. I'll help raise your son.
She wasn't so, like, Bonnie and Clyde with him.
Exactly.
Like, on the movie. But I think that's what really makes the movie, is that weird love triangle they made up. Like, that is the movie. And while I'm sad to know it doesn't exist, that's only because I crave drama.
I love the drama.
Yes. I did find out...
Speaking of drama, you do, in fact, act a lot like Jennifer Lawrence's character in this movie.
Oh, my God. Toxic. Me, the most toxic person. You said that about Jonah Hill, too. The toxic side character.
So accurate.
She's right about a lot of stuff, you know? And honestly, her being crazy isn't always crazy. She's pushed.
Oh, I know. I agree. But, you know.
He's like, but you know, yeah, there's still
you
that.
Know, you still act the exact same as you. So
justify it however you want.
Yeah, that's what you do.
you do things to survive too.
You're
you know?
Projecting. That's fine. Continue on.
You do things to survive. You put the little curlers in your hair. You have a fiance.
I'll put metal in the microwave if I fucking want to. Fuck your science oven. Stupid science oven. Jeremy Renner science oven.
It takes the nutrition out of her.
I don't want to get a new science. Oh yeah, she's like, just get a new one, you stupid piece of shit.
I want the one Carmine gave me. Carmine, Arno.
Arno, Carmine, Donnie?
Donnie, Arno, Carmine.
This is, I like the part in the podcast where they just said names.
Where they just screamed people's
names.
Part.
I like that part a whole lot.
So yeah, I guess just to wrap that up, fun fact about the movie, the fake knife.
I liked it. Fun fact.
The fake knife that the Sheik gave the mayor, Jeremy Renner's character, Carmine, that really happened. And it was a $2.99 fake knife from a flea market that Irving brought onto the scene.
You got it. That guy who was selling the knives was the king of knives in Bay Bridge, and then he was right next to the cold cut.
The king of cold cuts. Yeah. That's how they knew each other.
Yeah, and then Irving was like the king of dry clean. You know what I mean? They were all like the king of something.
Yeah, they were the kings.
Yeah, like
that was New York in the 70s.
I'm the king. I'm the best at selling meat.
Mattress king, the meat king.
Hey, it's me, the mattress king. Sleep with me. That's a sign. Hey, it's me, the mattress king. Sleep with me.
A sign? Yeah.
That's his whole sign.
That's it.
It's a store.
That's the name of it. That's the LLC. But yeah, so...
Speaking of other titles, The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, so also came out in 2013. And
that's crazy. I kind of understand why, like, The Wolf of Wall Street, like, came out on top versus American Hustle. Like,
it was so much more commercialized. I mean, it had Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio. Jonah Hill's, like, coming into the, like, the big dog movie because he's with Leonardo DiCaprio. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it for very sure. Very much not
feeling outclassed at all. Like, in any scene they're together in, they feel so, like, perfect.
They're on each other's energy. And then I know you heard the Justin Long podcast, and Jonah Hill was on that, and he was talking about how him and Leonardo DiCaprio are, like, super good friends, and, like, he feels like people think he's, like, pretentious for calling him just Leo, and it's so weird to think, like, these are just bros. Like, they became bros, and now they're just bros in the world. Yeah, like, they're just,
like,
friends.
Like, and that's how they feel in the movie. They just feel, like, really good friends.
Exactly. It just feels, like, really natural to watch them, like, pull all these shenanigans together.
They feel, like, super natural on screen with each other, and I really like their energy. Like, I definitely don't feel like Leonardo DiCaprio is outshining him in any scene.
Oh, no,
like,
not at all.
Like, that's where, like, the screen feels very shared in those moments, as opposed to other, like, characters he's on screen with. But, like, American Hustle, like, I felt the whole movie was very much shared.
Yeah, we spent time with each person and kind of got to know, like, who they were, and that made their intricacies with each other and their involvement so much more, like, shocking and, like, real, and made me have a reaction because I was, like, I felt like I got to know each of them. Rather, this is following Jordan Belfort's memoirs is what you found, right?
Yeah, so, like, I was like, oh, man. Like, I was like, man, how true is all this?
Yeah.
And I've always just read this movie as 100% fact. I've never, like deep, like, looked into Jordan Belfort.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, movie's enough. It's a fun movie, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, like how real is all of this? And I looked it up, and it's like, well, it's based off of a book,
mm-hmm.
which was written by Jordan Belfort. So it can really only be as accurate as
we want him to believe. Shady guy.
I'm sure most of it, like, a lot of this shit is very much true. Like, you know, like, he had all this money, all these drugs, all these things he was doing. I'm sure a lot of this was fucking insane, but I mean,
it's his perception.
This is also a movie. Yeah. And it's also, like, coming through the lens of, like, him high on drugs.
Him high on drugs, him being a con artist, and then the lens of Hollywood. So it's, like, take from it what you will.
Yeah, and then it's also, like, very, you know, fourth wall breaky. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to break out of, like, in SLC Punk, there's that scene in the party where Matthew Lillard kind of just, like, breaks the mold of, like, the party goer
mm-hmm.
and starts talking to the audience. And for, like, 30 minutes, it takes you on, like, a journey of all the rest of the characters and how they got to where they are now. And then they come back into the party, and that's where the movie starts. I didn't realize that The Wolf of Wall Street did the exact same thing.
Yeah, I like that it does that because it makes time feel weird. And it's like, okay, you know all this, now you're right back in. You're just thrown into this chaos, but now you have all this information, so you're invested in
it. Yeah, because, like, the movie starts with him landing this helicopter high on drugs, and you're like, what the fuck? That's mm-hmm. crazy. This is the first big thing we're seeing out of Jordan.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to, like, the beginning of the movie, basically, where, like, he's meeting Matthew McConaughey. And,
yeah,
like,
his little come-up story.
Like, his come-up story, and he's very much, like, you know, he's very much lower level than he is. He's not a CEO of anything.
Yeah, no.
He's barely a stockbroker. And then, you know, throughout, like, what, almost a whole hour of the movie, you see him landing the helicopter again right back where we were.
Yeah, it brings us, like, okay, and then we're back.
And that's when they introduce all of, like, the bad marital stuff between him and his wife. And I thought that was, like, really, really cool how they did that. Because, like, before that, him and Margot Robbie had, like, a nothing but perfect relationship.
And one that kind of even mirrored, I'd say, Irving and Sydney's, because
very much so.
Sydney was, like, the side piece to Irving, and so was Margot Robbie's character.
Yeah, it was a side piece.
Yeah, she was the side piece, and then came up into the main bitch role, as one does, and then became obviously really unhappy because this guy is just, like, a total psycho. He's so unlikable, but...
Who, Jordan?
Yeah.
Or Irving?
Jordan and Irving. They're all unlikable.
But that's the thing. They're also fucking scammers. Funny. Like,
oh, yeah.
I remember, like, at the beginning of Wolf of Wall Street, I was like, man, he was like, I used to do so many drugs. It would knock out all of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take 15 Quaaludes for my back. And I'd do this, that, and the other. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Throw my mimosa. Like, shit like that. And I was like, man, this is the coolest fucking guy on the planet. And you went, really? I think he's a scumbag. I'm like, well, yeah, duh. But he's living his fucking best life.
Yeah, and I guess that's the point. He's just like that arrogant, pompous dick. And seeing him, I was like, God, this guy sucks.
But
like,
there's something fascinating about it.
Well, seeing
it's
him,
so interesting. Somebody's lived like that.
Well, so them introducing him in the height of his success, I hated him, right? I was like, this guy, like, he's a lame, like, he's a show off. But then it brings us back to his come up story as he enters Wall Street, and then you grow to kind of love him because you see like the corruption, and you almost don't even really notice it until he is just this total like addict, this full blown addict to the lifestyle as a whole.
His like rise up into like all the drugs and all the power and all this was like so like incremental. It was so easygoing, like a graph. It was just,
yeah, it was effortless. Like, they just kept being fed to him. Really, it's an entire lifestyle.
Like, you don't notice it whatsoever. Mm-mm. And it's insane.
Yeah, like, and that's, I kind of feel like why I do like end up liking him in the end, because I don't know, I mean, he was like a kid trying to get into this, and then, you know, it went crazy. And like, God, imagine giving like a young anybody, man, woman, anyone in the 70s at any time, but all this money, they're in their 20s, they have a wife, but then like they're introduced to their first day of work, Matthew McConaughey, you know, like asking them about like jerking off and giving like, them coke and shit.
Like, hey, like, by the way, you're going to be doing cocaine and you're going to be fucking hookers, and this is like your life now. So
yeah, this is it, bro. Like, my simple wife can't keep up. Like, not to sound bogus, but I could see outgrowing that very quickly, yeah. Even if what you're growing into isn't healthy.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he's putting a lifestyle that demands that energy out of him, and he gives into it.
Yeah.
Does that make him a good person? Absolutely not. He should have had the wherewithal to not. But, I mean,
yeah, and he was
money
such a,
does a lot to people.
Such a pompous little prick, dude, with the FBI agent. He thought he was going to, like, sweet talk him. And then I really loved how we just saw, like, he was totally losing control once he saw the FBI agent, like, wasn't going to be, like, manipulated. Like, you see the snap in him, and he just, like, lets his anger get the best of him and starts,
he's a fucking,
like,
animal.
Yeah, he's just...
He's a bull in a china shop. He's so aggressive.
He really is. So aggressive, and because of it, he fucks himself, really. Like, he's just foolish and can't keep his mouth shut and thinks he could, like, engineer everything because he has money.
What a testament to him, though, to write himself as a shitty character. Like, or maybe...
Did he? I'd like to read the book, honestly. I'm curious.
I would like to read the book. I would hope that they stuck to the book fairly well, but, you know, Scorsese probably didn't. Or, like, the screenwriter probably didn't. He probably had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much basically, room to work here.
Yeah, you gotta cast people in that. Like, imagine trying to, like, try to get, like, a read on, like, Jonah Hill's character. Like, how to write that fucking guy.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Mac.
Bark?
How about not that?
Mac wants to be on the podcast. No,
it's like, I love Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill's my shit.
He's quippy.
Jonah Hill's down to earth. But actually, I did love seeing him in this. I love Jonah Hill. We're going to have to do a potty on him
soon.
Oh,
dude, Jonah Hill's one of my favorite people ever. He's
so
cool guy.
Cool. And then in this, like, his stupid veneers and cousin fucking ways, like, he's grimy.
And he's like, you know, Rudy. The guy at the lollipop
club. Yeah, the gay club.
Like, yeah, you know, I meet a lot of fucking people. I'm not fucking gay, though.
I like to grind. I like to dance. So what?
Yeah, so what? I like to get fucked up and dance. What's wrong with that? Everyone's like doesn't care. Like,
yeah, everyone's like, whatever, bro.
That's
like,
Donnie,
sure.
Bro. Donnie's a fucking freak.
Donnie.
Teeth.
Yeah.
You sold me a pay stub with $72,000 on it. I'll call my fucking boss and quit right now.
Come work for you.
That's what it was.
Yeah. It's like, to assume he wants him to work for him, bold. But I will say something I love for their friendship, and I can only say it's friendship goals. Especially, dude, we're in Oregon. We could easily do this. Now the drugs are decriminalized up here. Them smoking crack and sprinting through the street in those business suits, dude, if I don't go get a suit and get some crack in the next, like, week or so, I'm going to freak out.
As long as you get veneers.
Oh, yeah, I'll get the veneers.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Can we both dress up like Jonah Hill, though?
Yeah, we'll both be Jonah Hill.
I can't pull off Leonardo DiCaprio.
We'll just both be Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I want to be both. I just want both of us to. I feel like we would be cooler with Jonah Hill than Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't know. I feel like...
I don't know. Leonardo DiCaprio is pretty cool.
I would feel so intimidated. Yeah, I hear that he's so cool and down to earth and, like, intelligent. And he's just, like, a larger-than-life guy. But honestly, can I tell you something weird? And you guys listening, you get to hear this because I forgot we were recording, honestly, but I already started. If somebody was like, okay, like you got to, like, pick to marry / forever bang Leonardo DiCaprio or Jonah Hill, I think I'm picking Jonah Hill.
I would too.
Yeah. Even Leonardo DiCaprio is like a handsome Ken doll, but I think I'm picking Jonah Hill, bro.
And Jonah Hill would make me laugh, and I think that would be important.
He has kind eyes.
He does.
Yeah.
And a beautiful smile.
Yeah. Even with those veneers.
Yeah. Donnie. Yeah, no. Like, she is my cousin, and, you know, like, he can be retarded.
Yeah, like, dude, the way they throw around, like, the word retard in this movie, like, you could see this was definitely in 2013.
Oh, for sure.
But at least the characters are pieces of shit, so it only enhances how ignorant they are.
Oh, dude, I didn't even think about it from that perspective. I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly how they would fucking talk.
Yeah, they're
like,
just why so obnoxious. Would you
filter anything they're saying right now? This is incredible.
They have so much money, they can say and do whatever they want.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. Like, we like Tarantino movies and, like, shit like this. Like, they break barriers like that on purpose, and it makes the movie, like, better for it.
I don't think it's a barrier-breaking thing to call someone a retard.
I don't either, but I think it makes the movie, like, that's like it, like, with the amount of success this movie has, with the excessive use of the word, that, like, that's, like, holy fuck, like, this movie has that many uses of that word, and or, like, this word, and, like,
that's what I'm saying. It just adds to, like, the ignorance of the character. So even though it's distasteful to say, it's not, I would hope it's not just to say it to say it.
No, it's seems necessary like these characters, for the characters.
Yeah, are just like ignoramus, like rich, belligerent people who just say and do whatever
well,
they
yeah,
want.
Well, yeah, but I feel like they choose to do it in like the proper way too. Like there's that whole scene where like they really just like tear into like little people.
Oh my God. And I totally forgot about like how much banter there is. They're having the whole scene. Yeah, they're talking about when they're going to throw the like little man on the like dartboard with the Velcro, and they're talking about like they basically can't like make it take its dick out and stuff or him.
Yeah, yeah, like as long as we don't like as long as we don't treat him like a person, we're fine, and we treat it like an act.
Yeah,
like,
we say it's an act.
Like we say it's an act, and then you know, like he dies, we can't be sued. Like, and then like Jonah Hill pops in, he's like, yeah, but like what you guys gotta remember is that these things gossip. Like these things.
Yeah, they're talking about they gathered it, they gossip, they say we were mean to him.
Yeah, but like how funny is that scene? Like that seems necessary to show like these guys like being like that, like without scenes like that and stuff like that, movies like this, I feel like it would take away from them a little bit.
I think, yeah, like I said, it shows their level of ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. I think between the two of these movies, I think American Hustle is my fave, honestly. But if I had to pick for some reason, what do you think?
I don't. I think
you think Wolf of Wall Street still?
Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street is such a good movie. It's 3 hours long. I could watch through it in what feels like an hour. Like, the movie feels like it's paced so well.
Oh, yeah. It's paced very well.
I love the characters, the ideas. Like, what's going on in this movie artistically is, like, super funny. Like, it's all this shit I like.
Yeah.
In one cool movie.
And I like the characters. Even the background characters are funny, and they're I like watching
so
them.
They're so good.
Yeah, I really like...
My favorite's Otter.
Otter, yeah. He's a grubby, gross guy, but you gotta love him
gotta
for
love
it.
Gotta love Otter fucking the penny slot hookers. Penny slot. Penny, what is it? Penny stock. I keep saying penny slots.
That's funny. I didn't even catch that. Yeah, the penny stock hookers.
Mac
doesn't know about the penny stock
hookers. He doesn't.
So I don't know about that.
He's stuck on like what is it, like the blue coin? I don't know.
Blue chip. He wants chip, top yeah. notch.
But anyways, like Wolf of Wall Street has like such an energy to it, and I love it. Whereas like American Hustle feels very, it's like kind of like a soft and pretty movie at times, and that it's like kind of high octane. It's funny. Like it has a lot going for it, and in a lot of ways, it's very similar to Wolf of Wall Street. But you know, it's more like I learned a lot more. An American Hustle, honestly.
Yeah, it taps into so many different levels of organized crime. Like, it keeps your brain engaged. And what I like about both of these movies, Wolf of Wall Street and American Hustle, and kind of like how in Uncut Gems, you know, I don't follow basketball or sports, like, at all. But they make sure you understand what needs to happen in order for, like, them to win the money in the game in Uncut Gems. And they kind of do the same with Wolf of Wall Street and American Hustle. Even if you're not a stock guy, you're not like a con artist, American greed scammer guy, like they make sure you know, like, here's how the legitimate way is and here's how we do it. So you can follow it and see like, oh, that's fucked up, even if you're not like into that stuff.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
So I really appreciate that because I don't like give a fuck about the stock market, dude. Just print more money. Like, I don't care. Like,
I just think like Wolf of Wall Street, I mean, it has on paper, it has more going for it than, like, American Hustle does, in my mind.
Oh, it's so much bigger of a scam. Yeah, it's way bigger. It affects way more people.
Like, bigger, not necessarily bigger cast, but, like, at the time, like, Leonardo DiCaprio is one of the biggest actors.
He automatically makes it an A-list cast. Exactly. No matter what, he could do an indie film and it automatically becomes an A-list cast because he's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Exactly. And because, like, when it comes with that and Martin Scorsese, like, this movie is just so big and funny and...
Yeah, it was much more commercialized.
So digestible, sure. So entertaining. Like, that's the biggest thing. It's consistently entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's so entertaining.
Yeah, it really is. It just keeps moving and introduces new characters and takes them away. And, like, it just, like, they let these characters speak for themselves in their own traits, like, in genuine ways. Like, when the, like, British aunt dies or whatever, and, like, that's what prompts him having to go get all the money. He starts freaking out. And you'd think, like, oh, he's, like, feeling sentimental because, like, a family member died. No, he's just fucking tweaking because he wants his money, and now his bank is fucked up. And, like, so basically just so selfish, and we get to see that that's, like, his true core character traits through all these interactions. Like, dude, this guy sucks. Like,
he's such a bad person.
You suck.
Oh, my God. And then you have Jonah Hill just absolutely, like, murdering any part, any scene he's in.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely just tearing it up. He's so funny.
So funny, even when he's not trying to be, just dry and funny.
He was talking to the Punisher. That's where he sounds like you, bro. Like, if you start, like, getting mad at somebody, like, you're like... He goes, honestly, I think you fucking like me, bro. He's like, I don't want to come off like coming off sounding dumb, like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I feel like you like me. And, like,
we the other day, what were we doing? I said, you trying to hold my hand, bro?
Yeah, like, I passed you the joint, and, like, I accidentally, like, baby grabbed, like, your finger more so than the joint, and you were, like, trying to hold my fucking hand? I think you fucking like me? Like, Jesus, no.
No.
You're so mean.
Jonah Hill causing that ruckus with that money exchange caused so many problems, and that's how you just know it. Like, people that are stupid rich just don't even understand consequences. Like, did all that, then drove away. Like, got Punisher arrested, got him 3 months in jail, lost $2 million in cash, and just drove away.
Like, smooth, just out of there.
He driving by looking shocked as fuck.
Drove up pretending to be fucking intoxicated just to be an asshole.
Just as a prank. It was a prank.
Just to be like, I'm fucked up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Jonah Hill, actually.
It's me. I'm playing around.
It's my classic catchphrase. It's me, actually. Oh, my God. But yeah, no, like, he's just fucking over the Punisher. He's so fucking funny, man.
All of these people are just so self-absorbed and don't even really... They just are acting on drugs and...
Just, like, a lot of them are fucking stupid, too.
Yeah. They were just a bunch of guys that figured out how to, like, fast-talk other guys and get their money. And I feel like that's the biggest parallel between the two, American Hustle and Wolf Wall Street.
Yeah, like, these guys, like, have the ability to be, like, super successful.
Yeah.
Like, because they're able to fast-talk.
Yeah, literally.
You know, whereas, like, I'm sure they actually had some, like, intelligent, like, well-educated people in that, like, at Stratton, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they did, but, like, the core guys were just some fucking idiots that, yeah, like, were just selling weed.
Yeah, they were just, like, basically a heist men that figured out, like, the corporate system, which kind of gotta love just, like, regular old dudes, like, infiltrating, like, the capitalist agenda.
So fucking cool, bro.
It
I fucking
cool.
Love you, Jordan.
All right, well, I guess, yeah, we talked. Anything else to say on either of them?
I don't know. I really like both of the movies a lot.
They're good. Yeah, I know they came out a while ago. Anyone, you guys that haven't seen them, def watch them.
Yeah.
They're great.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
They're both on Amazon Prime.
Wait, stop. I'm insulting them. If you haven't seen these fucking movies, get off your fucking ass. Yeah, you, Aaron, get the chicken wing out of your mouth. Watch the fucking movie.
Yeah, they're both on Amazon Prime right now for free, if you could tolerate the ads.
Yeah. They're hard to... The ads suck.
They do suck. But if you could tolerate them, Max said they suck. He barked. He said they suck. He said they sure do. But yeah, so go watch them. Then we're going to skip next week's podcast and be back with our movies of 2020. So, bye.
Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audience. Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies.
that's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot, you moron, you stupid bitch.